not. Good morning. It's time to shake it off and shake it out. Let's get out of bed and get to work outside, in the yard, all around the house, in the garden with John J. Harper here at Rosie on the House. We get together every single Saturday morning to inform you, to educate you, to protect you, and hopefully along the way we'll entertain you on topics related to your landscape, gardening, house, home, castle, or cabin. We're a call-in talk show, and we've got operators standing by. If you've got a project you're trying to tackle outside in the lawn or garden, give John Jay a call now, and he'll put his three generations of Arizona landscape gardening experience to work for you. Wherever you live in the great state of Arizona, our toll-free number is 1-888-767-4348. So we're here. We're here for you. Give us a ring. John Jay, we were talking in the last hour a little bit about the end of summer as it relates to school break.
Right.
Can we start talking about end of summer as it relates to weather break?
Do you know what happened today?
What happened today? Blue moon last night.
Yep.
Okay.
And August 1st.
Yes.
Just means that the planting schedule for vegetables, garden vegetables, just went from about four things to about 14.
Today's the day.
Today's the day.
All right.
If your garden is ready.
Okay.
If your soil is prepared.
Okay.
So if you've turned the soil and you've added some more maybe organic compost, some gypsum, maybe a little organic fertilizer, and you've got it all turned, then from seed, not from starts, it's too early from starts yet, but if you want to start from seed, you can start beans and corn and cauliflower and cucumbers. We can do melons again, not
okay,
watermelons, but cantaloupe and honeydews. We can do broccoli. We can do, I'm missing some things, corn and beans, I said, carrots. So it just goes from, you know, a couple of things to a whole bunch. And then September, the list then goes into lettuces and all
okay,
that kind of things. And we got, as probably most nurseries, got a fresh shipment of fall garden seed. Just happened to come in yesterday.
Nice.
Got it all put away. So prepare the soil. If you haven't, take a couple weekends if it's a huge garden. If it's just, if maybe you've got a little square foot garden, you know, you may just need to buy one little extra bag of mix and throw it in there just to get the level back up.
And how about the bigger yard, lawn, garden, your soil supplement recipe? They can still find that on your website?
They can. I just pulled it up. It's
I tell you, that did more for our garden than anything we've ever put in it.
Right. So you go to that.
We're due to do it again.
Right. It's Garden Preparation Guide. Go to our website, go to Gardening Tips, and go to All Tips, and go to Garden Preparation Guide. And then also on there are the planting dates that we just mentioned for all the things that you can start planting.
Awesome.
From seed now. Now, if you want to wait and start starts, then that's Labor Day-ish.
Okay.
But so those people that are really anxious to get going, August is the month that it all begins. Oh, peas, I didn't mention.
Okay.
A lot of people love those little snow peas.
Oh, yeah.
Man, the problem with those is you can't grow enough of them to get them back to the house.
No, they never do make it back
to
the house.
So all of those can start. So we're itching to get going just like everybody else, and it's time.
And in studio, we also have Julie Murphy from the Farm Bureau. Julie, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. John Jay has it exactly right. This is the fun time. My two favorite seasons for gardening is the fall and the winter.
Sure can grow a lot more variety of things this time of year.
Well, our farmers in Arizona right now have a lot of things coming off the field right now.
They do. And if you're struggling with your backyard garden, you've got to go to the farmers markets. And our grocery stores will have a lot more of the local produce in abundance. Bash's, Safeway, Fry's, Sprouts.
So if I wanted to support a grocery store that supported our local growers,
those are the ones that I just mentioned, Sprouts, Fry's, Safeway, Bash's, our local grocer.
Yeah.
And you'll really see it in the winter, and part of that is because Yuma is our lettuce bowl capital of the world. 90% of all of our leafy greens, our cauliflower, our broccoli, And they're prepping their beds, too. The same thing that John Jay was talking about is they're getting ready for that winter harvest, prepping now, and it'll start coming off in first part of November.
Sounds good. So we've talked about doing, they've got the Salza Trail. We were talking about doing the corn trail, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Sweet corn starts getting harvested in.
Well, and the fun thing about sweet corn, so we had it in here in the summer in the valley, and now it's moved up north, and the Oslo, I believe, have it in Wilcox. Yeah. So if you're still looking for that sweet corn locally, you can still get it. You can get it at Mortimer Family Farms. You can get it at Hauser & Hauser, I think, is another one of
Camp Verde.
Mm-hmm. Camp Verde. Yep. So there's a lot of our sweet corn growers. They just happen to be up north, and that's a good weekender trip for the family anyway.
You bring the corn home in the bag.
Yes.
And then about Labor Day,
it moves up.
Done it over in Taylor and Snowflake.
You're right.
It moves right on over there, so you can go to the White Mountains and clear into September through September and get local.
Just follow the flow of the ear of corn.
Here with Julie Murphy from the Farm Bureau and John J. Harper of Harper's Nurseries. Mike, why don't you bring in Roger? He wants to talk about garden veggies right in on topic, and we'll bring Roger in and get his question. Good morning, Roger. Thanks for calling. Rosie on the house.
Good morning. Great show. My garden, vegetable garden, it's been dormant for like over a month now. I have collards, I have okra, yellow squash and basil, and some kale. I know that it's out of season, I guess, for kale. But what do I do with a they're not growing, they're not doing anything. And I had a bad case of aphids 2 years in a row early in the summer.
Okay.
And they keep coming back. Is there anything I can put on it to get rid of the aphids next season?
Well, aphids generally are gone with the hot weather.
Yes.
Your garden's been fallow. That would mean there's nothing there, correct?
It seems like it's sterile. Nothing's moving. Nothing's growing. I'm watering. I know you hate the blue fertilizer, but I use some of that. I figured, let me try that. And
Depends on what, you know, what you're...
I put Epsom salt. Someone said put Epsom salt, pour that all around in. And it seems like it's...
Well, what I would probably do is, if you got stuff that's just not doing well, it's the end of the season for most of the summer stuff, I would probably just pull it all out, which is what I've started doing. Just get it pulled out, start working that soil, get some good, like Hickman's organic compost or a good organic compost, start working that in. Mixing it in down to, you know, between 6 inches and a foot deep, and get some gypsum, about 10 pounds per 100 square feet, maybe either a little bone and blood meal, or again, Hickman's makes a great all-purpose organic fertilizer. Just get all that tilled in this weekend, and then water it really good. And then you can start from seed. We kind of went down the list, right? So there's a whole bunch of that stuff. You mentioned kale. Kale does really. My kale lives pretty much year round. Once you get it going, you can really keep the kale almost year round. But
you can.
But we're going into the time now. Our fall and winter and what we call cool season vegetables here are really the things that you eat. This is the easiest way for me to remember. And there are exceptions to this, but the root of, the leaf of, or maybe part of the stem of. So carrots and beets and turnips, lettuce and spinach and chard, kale, okay? And then things like cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, those types of things. There are a couple of exceptions, the winter squash, like spaghetti squash and Hubbard squashes and some of those. So first things first, though, it sounds to me like maybe your garden just doesn't have the nutrient level, maybe it doesn't have quite the organic makeup that it needs to have. So spend some time this weekend getting that organic material worked into that soil and get that soil built back up.
Julie, I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry.
I'm getting very hungry, Roger, and especially for my fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Roger, mention the plants that you are talking about in your garden right now that aren't doing well. You mentioned okra.
Okra and collards.
Yeah,
collards are not going to do well in the...
I think it's just a seasonal issue.
Collards are a wintertime vegetable. Now, okra loves the heat. Okra should be doing well in the heat. But the collards, I'm surprised they're even still alive. So collards are a green, a leafy green that we would grow in the winter months here.
All right. Julie, saw you on TV, heard you on the radio. We had a show last weekend on space.
On space. Yes.
And you've been like the little space cadet all week, right? Talking about satellite imaging of the agricultural fields.
I've been trying to. We're highlighting the use of drones in agriculture, where many believe it's probably going to be one of the best places to utilize that technology. Our farmers and ranchers are some of the first to adopt technology if they know it can improve their agriculture, improve efficiency, reduce costs, and all of that neat stuff. And our drone technology does exactly that. And plus, we all like to play with gadgets, so this is the perfect one to play with.
So you're these guys are and gals are flying the drones over their fields, and what are they looking for? They're identifying pests. They're identifying plant stress.
Is probably one of the priorities. There's a lot of things they can pinpoint exactly what is needed in a particular part of the field with this technology, so that they can do pinpoint application of either some soil enhancements or whatever it might require, instead of broad-based across the field and kind of a little bit of guesswork. This gives them an extra set of eyes, in a sense. And, of course, it's more sophisticated than that. But the point being, they can really examine their fields a lot more with a lot better, so to speak.
My understanding is they can literally then take those coordinates, put them in a GPS, which is attached to either the seed planting machine or the fertilizer applicator.
Right.
And as they're going down the field, it will know whether to put more or less of all of those things
based
on where those coordinates are plotted into that.
It's and one right. of the things is saves a lot of costs.
It does, yeah. It lets you really pinpoint your applications. We have Mike, Carol, Lance on hold. We'll get to your calls. I can remember coming from a farming family. My grandmother always said the best technology invention that ever came was the glassed-in cabs on the tractors.
That's one of the reasons.
Because the men came home so much cleaner at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And my grandfather always said, no, the best thing was when they put a radio in the cab.
There you go. One farmer says that's why he stayed in farmer, because they enclosed the cabs.
They enclosed the cabs, gave them air conditioning and a little radio to play as they run up and down those rows all day long.
And now they have GPS.
We're here with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery and Julie Murphy from the Farm Bureau, all with your questions and answers and a whole bunch more when we get back. Y'all stay tuned.